Good afternoon, listeners, and welcome to this beautiful Saturday afternoon broadcast of Shooting from the Hip. I'm Jeff Pedro, and I'm from Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. You can visit us on the web at sim-trainer.com. You can stop down and see us at 2031 Dryden Road in Moraine, or you can call us at 937-293-3914, and we'd be more than glad to discuss with you any of your firearms-related needs or interests. I would encourage anybody that's listening to the show today, if you want to get on the show and you have any comments or suggestions, have any questions you want to have answered, give us a call here at the studio at 937-457-1290. That's 937-457-1290, and we'd be more than glad to get you up on the air and discuss whatever's on your mind. I wanted to start off today's show with talking about an issue that really struck me as just wrong from the beginning, and that was this last week the moratorium on eviction for landlords had expired last week, but President Biden on national television said that his administration is going to extend the program, even though the United States Supreme Court ruled that neither he nor the CDC could do so. Now, I bring that up now because what really got me was this is just outright defiance of the rule of law and the Constitution and the way things are done here. And it's just another example of how far the current administration will go to impose its will on the people. Now, we've mentioned week in and week out what kinds of draconian gun control measures have been recommended by the current administration, and it's only a matter of time before they turn their attention in that direction. We've heard talk of a number of different things that have been going on behind the scenes. If you pay attention to what's going on in the news, there's very little attention given to the violent crime, the increases in violent crime around the country, and the causes of violent crime being mostly drug and gang activity and just outright illegal behavior, prompted to due to a large part to the fact that many of these jurisdictions have discontinued bail. In other words, people commit crimes, even felonies, and they're not held to account for that. They're not put in jail for any period of time. They're just released back onto the streets. We know that in Chicago is just one example. Just in the last several months, they've released over 90 people that are under indictment for murder, different classifications of murder, and released them under monitoring with wrist or ankle bands. Just absolutely ridiculous. And they're surprised when many of those individuals go out and commit additional crimes, particularly violent crime. So there's a lot of things going on, but this decision last week, where the president went on national television and said, we don't care what the law says. He gave the example that he said, quote, a few of my legal advisors think we can do it. Now let that sink in for just a minute. He said a few of his legal advisors are telling him and the administration that they think they can defy the law. This is somewhat unprecedented. I'm not aware of other cases where the government, any level of government, has basically said to heck with the law. We don't care what the law says. We're going to infringe on the rights of individuals. We're going to violate the Constitution and the rule of law, and we're just going to move forward with our agenda. It's scary. And again, I just want you to think about the potential implications down the road if this sort of thing is allowed to continue. And I say that because I'm wondering, where are all of our legislators and the civil rights groups? Every single one of them should be dragging themselves in front of any microphone, any television camera they can get to object to this kind of behavior. This is outright tyrannical behavior on the part of government. They are deliberately defying the rule of law and saying that we don't care what the law says. Our advisors say that we can move forward, so we're going to. Now, in reference to the moratorium on renters, look at what that's doing to renters, or to people, landlords, I should say, not renters. Many of these people, most of the people who are impacted by this, have for many months received government subsidy, government funding, in many cases above and beyond what they were making at their jobs, and they were yet still allowed to not have to pay their rent. Now let's take this over into what we talk about on this show, and let's look at some different ways in which the government can impose its will on the people against the rule of law. Right now, there's been a lot of talk about certain types of firearms, particularly M4 rifles, AR rifles, the infamous black rifle that they like to give all kind of negative attention to. They're talking about magazine capacity, and they're critical of arm braces on AR pistols, and the so-called ghost guns or guns where parts of guns that people use to make guns, and we look at what the impact of that is, what those things are on total crime, and we find that very few criminal acts are committed by individuals using the things that they want to go out and outlaw. And right now, there's a prohibition on them doing that. Most types of firearms are legal, and there's not much the government can do right away to make them illegal. And certainly the legislature would have to act under normal circumstances, but under the current regime's approach to things, they may just say, look, we don't care what the law says. We're going to go ahead and try this anyway because our legal advisors think we can confiscate certain types of firearms, make you register certain types of firearms, make you pay taxes on certain types of firearms and ammunition and magazines. It's just the way they're headed, and it's scary. It's unprecedented, and it was only a matter of time before in years past they would do it subliminally, kind of below the radar, but at this point it's just an all-out in your face type of approach to ruling the masses, and it's kind of spilled over into the debate about COVID and the impact of COVID and the variants and things of that nature. And one thing I just want to advise people is please look at the information that you're presented with. No matter what it pertains to, whether it's to gun violence or COVID deaths or hospitalizations or whatever the case is, remember that the data that people present often is just presented to kind of substantiate their stance. And relative to COVID, I just want to let you know, early on they were talking about sheer numbers, the actual numbers of hospitalizations, actual numbers of people who were having ICU admissions, and actual numbers of deaths. And these days, they're talking mostly about percentages. And in one recent news broadcast, they talked about 100% of the fatalities were related to people who were unvaccinated. And in that example, one person died. So, and he happened to be unvaccinated. So in essence, they were telling you the truth that 100%, the one person out of one that died was unvaccinated. And now we find out just yesterday, the CDC had to backtrack on some of the data they were presenting because they found that much of the data they were reporting relative to deaths and hospitalizations was prior to April 15th. So the majority of the people that were hospitalized and had difficulties and who died between January and April 15th, obviously many of those were unvaccinated because the vaccines were not readily available until late January on into February, and then since then there's been a lot of people vaccinated. So there's misrepresentation of data to promote a particular agenda, and the agenda just happens to be to try to figure out a way that they can rule over people. And I just want you to be cautious about what you hear, what you read. Don't overreact until you dig into it. Just like what they've reported recently with things that have gone on at the relative to the so-called sham hearing that was conducted, reference to the January 6th incident, where they had people get up there. They paraded people up there to just pretty much promote the talking points that they want to promote, much of it based on the fact that white supremacy is the biggest problem facing this country, even though there's been all sorts of hacks of infrastructure, pipelines have been affected. Businesses and industries have been adversely affected by our foreign adversaries who are just sitting back and taking advantage of the current administration's overlooking the real problem. So there's lots of issues, and I just encourage you to please assess data based on not on what's presented, but make sure you look into it, look at the basis, consider who's giving you the information. And right now we got to be particularly mindful. Both the our federal legislators and our state legislators are getting ready to come back from their extended summer break, whatever they call it. They get so many breaks, I sometimes think they get more breaks than they actually do work, but they're getting ready to come off a break. And there's going to be some issues discussed, and there's been some downtime. So this is where they try to sneak things in. We know that the infrastructure bill has all kind of garbage in it, but don't be surprised if they try to sneak some gun-related legislative issues into that. And I'm going to talk about some local matters that have been brought up in the news in the last couple of days after the break. But there's lots of different things going on, and I just want you to be real careful, because we're not only we're living in dangerous times because the government's willing to do anything and everything they can to impose its will on the people, but because sometimes when there's long periods of inactivity, people get a little bit ambivalent to what's going on, and they're kind of not paying close attention, and that's when things sneak under the radar, and next thing you know, we're like, how did that happen? Where did that come from? And we've got numerous organizations that we're affiliated with, the Buckeye Firearms Association, the Second Amendment Foundation, the NRA, that are looking and are constantly mindful for discussions that are going on relative to the legislature, relative to gun control, and that's what it is. It is gun control. It's not violence abatement. Most of the proposals that have been made have little to nothing to do with curtailing the violence that's occurring around the country. It's no secret that if they just enhance law enforcement rather than cut back on law enforcement, let police officers do their jobs, and reinstitute a more aggressive approach to policing and incarceration based on the severity of crime, then they're going to get another handle on what's going on, rather than things running out of control the way they are right now. It's not the guns, it's the individuals who use the guns to do bad things, and that's a fact. It's been well reported, it's well documented, but that's not the agenda that they want to promote. So when we come back after the break, we're going to talk about some of those other issues. You're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 Dayton News and Talk. Andy, we'd be more than glad to talk with you. Let's go out to the phones, John, and talk to George, who has a comment relative to COVID vaccines. Well, maybe there's a little bit of a delay here.
Oh, Jim's here.
Okay. Oh, Jim. Okay, we'll go with Jim. Jim from Springfield. Okay. You're talking about, you have a question relative to states passing Second Amendment protection laws.
Yes, and I know Ohio's got one and trying to pass one now, and I'm just wondering, how effective is this going to be if it comes down to it? I mean,
well,
that's what worries
me. It worries me too, and this is where I think the legislators at both levels need to kind of let their constituents know where they stand and how things are. But you notice they're kind of being silent on this. It's almost as if they're afraid to get up in front of a microphone for what the fallout might be. Obviously, the state rights can proceed to a certain level, and then the federal government has certain restrictions on what it can impose on the states. But you would think that if they do this, the states passing Second Amendment protection laws, it would supersede the federal government coming in and doing such things. But since both the levels of our representatives are being kind of quiet, I'm curious to hear from them. And one of the things I'm going to do relative to this, in a couple weeks, we're going to have a guest from the Second Amendment Foundation on, and we're going to try to get Jim Jordan or and a couple of other local representatives to kind of discuss these issues and see if we can get them on the record, because they're certainly not getting out in front of microphones and cameras and letting us know where they stand, and we need to know that.
I'm scared to death of this Chipman deal now too. One vote,
yeah,
up in the air.
Yeah, it's a tough situation, and we know what his representation is and his orientation, and
how would the Democrats have felt if we'd had Wayne LaPierre nominated for that job? You know?
Yeah. It would have been kind of a peculiar situation. But anyway, we'll keep following that. And thanks for your call, Jim.
Thank you, sir.
We're going to go back out and we talk to our next caller. We got Bob out. Is Bob there? No. Okay, I guess right now we don't have anybody on the line. So we'll wait and see if they come back. But one of the things I wanted to mention before the break, I talked about some of the things that are going on the local level. And Toby Hoover, who represents a gun control group. We do have a caller back up. Let's just go. Let's see if we can get our caller back on the line. John, go ahead and patch it through. Who do we have today? Go ahead. Kevin,
this is Bob.
Go ahead, Dom. Go ahead with your comment.
Okay. I have a are you ready for my question?
Sure. Go ahead with your question.
Okay. I have a concealed carry license in Ohio, and it expires tomorrow, and I've applied for a new one, and I'm not supposed to have my meeting until the early part of September. Between tomorrow and that, getting my renewed license,
Apparently you got cut off, but let me answer the question for you. Between tomorrow and getting your license, you cannot carry concealed. The extension period has expired. I believe that was on July 31st. So you cannot carry concealed. You cannot carry your loaded firearm in your vehicle until you actually get your license.
Okay, you answer my question. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's a question that many people have relative to the way things have gone over the last 18 months or so. They had some extensions, but those extensions have expired. And right now, the sheriff's offices are just trying to catch up with the sheer volume of not only people trying to renew, but the vast volume of people that are trying to get their first license. So there are backlogs, and they're doing everything they can to get caught up. But just another word of caution to those people who have a expired concealed handgun license, they cannot carry until they get that license renewed. And carry means you cannot have a loaded firearm on your person, in your vehicle, at any time in a public place. Now, you're able to have a loaded firearm in your own home, on your own property, but you can't be carrying concealed in public, and you can't transport a loaded vehicle. You can still transport your unloaded vehicle, or your unloaded firearm in your vehicle to the shooting range to get practice, just so the gun is stored in a separate portion of the bag you're carrying it from, the ammunition. And I recommend that you don't load your magazines until you get to the range, because then you don't get into the issue of interpretation of language in that law that has created some controversy over the last couple of years. So thank you for your call, Bob, and I hope that answered your question. Please be cautious. I want to just continue real quick before we go to the next break and talk about Toby Hoover proposed some legislation. It's called the Child Access Prevention Tax Credit Act, which they want to give a 20% tax cut, which I'm not sure which tax it's going to apply to those who purchase safe gun storage items. What they fail to realize is every gun sold by a commercial dealer is sold with a gun safety device. Most responsible people have safes that they secure their guns in to prevent people who shouldn't get them from getting access to them. And this is just going to create all kind of controversy. I'm all for trying to encourage people to safely store guns, but it doesn't seem to make much sense to give a 20% tax credit. And again, one of those things where they weren't clear as to what that tax is going to be. Is that the tax on the purchase of the gun? Is that on your state income tax, on your federal income tax, whatever it is? And again, it's just something they throw out there to make it seem like they're throwing you a bone that means something, but in reality, it doesn't have much impact. So until we get further clarification, I'm not going to make much more comment, but it was an article that made the local news this last week, and nobody really questioned it because most people, again, don't know the answers. But we'll talk more about that when we come back after this next break. You're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 Dayton's News and Talk. Welcome back to the show, and I want to talk a little bit about some issues that I brought up a few weeks ago, and that's relating to the status of the industry. People are always asking, what's the status of ammo? Well, I can tell you that over the last 2 to 3 months, ammo is pouring out of the manufacturing plants into the supply line. It's just that the continued high demand is creating a situation where it's difficult for people to get caught up. And the good thing is, I have seen over the last 2 weeks in particular, and been able to take advantage of the purchase of pretty good quantities of 9mm ammo in particular, for a reasonable price. Now, reasonable is relative. In this day and age, reasonable, some of you are probably thinking, well, when's it going to get back to $8, $9, or $10, $12 a box? Well, the bad news is the industry representatives are telling us it may never get back to that price. The more realistic settle point, once they get caught up, might be in the area of $12 to $15 a box for 50 rounds. But recently I've seen bulk ammo online available for $16.99 to $18.99 per 50-round box, as long as they were buying 1,000-round bulk packs. Typically, you're going to be paying anywhere from $22 to $29 a box for 50 rounds of 9mm. 380 is still hard to get because the manufacturers are so committed to getting caught on the majority selling ammo, and that's the 9mm. They're not spending much time on the others. Matter of fact, a couple of the manufacturers have gone on the record to state that they're doing little to no production of 38 or 45 ammo because it takes too much to change things over and to due to the not as much sales, they're reluctant to do that. I want to just report a little bit of some sales when we talk about how the industry is doing. Just this last couple days, Winchester reported that they had total sales in the second quarter of this year of $412 million. That was a 108% increase over last year, which was a record amount. So you think about that, $412 million. We reported a couple weeks ago that last year Smith & Wesson recorded $1.1 billion in sales. We also got some information from Ruger that said in its second quarter they went over $131 million in sales, which was a 51% increase over this time last year. So when you think about why are things not readily available, even though even guns are becoming more readily available than obviously they were last year, whereas I would get an allocation maybe of five or six irrelevant items, now I'm getting 18 to 20 up to 50 of the popular items like the Smith & Wesson M&P Shields, the Ruger Max 9, the Hellcat, Springfield Hellcat. The only ones that have been that have not been available is Glock. And Glock at one point during all this were in the tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, in back order, to the point where they stopped filling back orders and they're just trying to get guns out onto the market and make it so that I'm gonna be very interested in seeing what their sales are once they report them, because they've had to do wonders over the last couple of years. Being one of the leaders in the semi-automatic pistol line, they must have had a wonderful year, and kudos to them. They put a lot of work in getting us to this point. Keep in mind the fact that the Glock semi-automatic pistol kind of came to be in popularity in the mid 1980s, when law enforcement transitioned from revolvers to Glocks, and then that naturally spilled on over into the civilian world. And you look at the Glock 19, still today being the number one selling gun in this country and probably in the world. And then you look at some of the products they've come up with in the last couple of years, the Glock 48 and the 43X and the single stack variation of the Glock 19 being a huge seller and competing with the Smith & Wesson M&P Shield as the number one selling single stack in the country. Over the last year, every year manufacturers try to come up with something that's going to draw buyers. They haven't had to have much problem, so there hasn't been a whole lot of innovation per se on the back end, but several of the manufacturers have looked to expanding the capacity of the single stack 9mm. And Sig Sauer, when they came out with their P365, came out with a magazine that started out, when you look at the magazine at the top, it looks like a single stack, then it kind of transitions to a slightly wider configuration, not as wide as a double stack, but And in many cases, it fits into the grip on the gun almost the same way that a single stack does. It didn't take much modification to the stock of the gun or to the stock of the gun to make that or the grip of the gun to make those magazines fit. Well, the Smith & Wesson M&P Shield came out with the Shield Plus, extending their capacity from 7 to 8 up to 9 rounds before in the single stack round magazines. Now they have 12 plus 1 or 13 plus 1 in their expanded capacity magazines. Springfield Hellcat followed suit, did the same thing, and the Ruger Max 9 about the same time came up with their additional higher capacity quasi single stack magazine. So it's kind of a hybrid between the single and the double. The good thing is, from what I've been able to tell, if you have a Shield 2.0, for example, and you then purchase a Shield Plus, you don't have to get a new holster, which is a good thing. I was down at Stoner Holsters a couple weeks ago getting an order filled, and they're using the same mold for the Shield 2.0 that they're using for the Shield Plus. The only real thing that's extended, obviously, as I mentioned earlier, was just the slightly wider grip of the gun. It doesn't have anything to do with the barrel or the slide or the frame. It's just the grip of the gun that's slightly and almost negligible. When you turn the Shield upside down and compare it to the Shield Plus, when they're side by side, you can tell. But when you hold them in your hand, it's almost impossible to tell. But it's just one of the things that they've done to try to draw people to switch to their brand or to buy more of their product, even though they're having record sales. I mean, they totally are selling everything they can produce as quick as they can produce it. So that brings up the other debate about why more capacity. Do you need, if you've already got 7, 8, or 9, is it going to help you if you have 11, 12, or 13? And we talk about in a real situation, in a real self-defense situation, you have to hit early and often rather than rely on the fact that you have more ammunition, and it just means you miss longer. If you miss for a longer period of time, that puts your personal safety and or your life in jeopardy. So we can argue that. If anybody wants to call in and discuss their opinions of a lower capacity versus higher capacity, that's a debate that is good to have, and I'm sure there are peoples on both sides of the fence. It's just one of those things in the industry that the manufacturers are looking for ways to draw new customers, even though right now they're fat and happy. This is probably the best time for the firearms industry, maybe in my lifetime, as far as sales and product desirability. And like I say, in years past, they would have to come up with new things, new design features, new guns altogether in order to continue to keep people buying their products. That's not the case right now. And we're in a good state. If you're looking to buy new products, there's a product I'm going to kind of preview right now. I want you to go out to NexBelt, NexBelt.com. It's a belt system that is absolutely made for the concealed carry, the person who concealed carries and or the competitive shooter. The nice thing about the NexBelt is it's very adjustable. Once you buy the belt, you trim it to your particular length. It has the ability to be tightened ratcheted to a comfortable position, or loosened if you decide that's going to make it based on other items you might be adding to your belt. But we just got on board with them as a dealer, and they're going to ship out their first order to us within the next week or so, and we're really excited about their product. I found out about NexBelt by a couple of our one of my staff members and one of our students who came to class, and I was really impressed with the ease at which he could transition items on his belt. And when I talked to him about it, I looked into it, and then I contacted the distributor, and then he put me in connection with the sales rep here in this region, and we worked it out, and we're really excited about their product line. So again, go out to NexBelt. It's not, don't throw the T in there. It's NexBelt.com, and look at that product, and you'll see them on our shelves here in the next couple weeks, and take advantage, because there are people out there who struggle. Maybe they don't like to have a leather belt. These are nylon belts that are very durable nylon, and they have very durable buckles. That's one of the things with some of the belts that that don't have the traditional buckle with the tang that locks into a hole. They come loose, especially when you're moving around, maybe in a competitive event or just moving around in your daily activities when you're carrying concealed. These have a very strong and secure fastening system, and it's very impressive. They come in a variety of different colors. The buckle configurations are varied depending on what you like. They also have a businessman's belt. That's not going to be the one that we're going to initially highlight, but we'll certainly have access to that. And if people want to go along those lines, we'll be more than glad to help them out. I want to also remind our listeners that as a result of one of our local Andy Hostetler and Haas Holsters kind of selling his business due to family situation, we're kind of going to get our entire inventory updated through Stoner. And we've carried the Stoner line for quite some time, and I stopped down at their store, and they too are far behind. I remember days when I would go down there and pick up product, and I could readily pick up anything I needed. These days, everything's a couple weeks out because they hand make everything right there at their shop down on Route 4 down in Middletown. But we're increasing our inventory of the Stoner line of leather holsters because it's getting harder and harder to get good holsters that people can cash and carry right from our shop. So we're going to increase that inventory. Just recently, I got two of the Sig Sauer P365s, and there was the XL with the red dot, and that gun requires special holsters. But both people that just bought those, the only two that I got this week, they're going to purchase the customized holster because it has a special cut for that particular firearm. But that's the other advantage of the Stoner holster line, is that they can be custom cut. They have inside the waistband, outside the waistband. They have a FBI belt slide that is very versatile, used for a variety of different guns. If you have a Glock 17, a Glock 19, a Glock 34, the belt slide can be used for all three. It's just a matter of how much distance the barrel extends beyond the end of the holster. But there's a lot of different options for you, and if there's something you're looking for, we want to be able to help you. We certainly can still get many of the Kydex or plastic holsters that are out there, and they're all very good, but we're going to kind of go back to our reliance on Stoner, mainly because they're local and we like giving business to a local provider who's been in business for many years and done the industry very well. And they're ones that I'm very glad to see. This industry, as I mentioned, it's up and down. There's not a whole lot of a consistent good. Well, for the last year, things have been pretty good. And you take a small business like that has several generations of family members that are running it, they're certainly glad to have this long period of good time as opposed to the having to struggle with the considerable ups and downs of the firearms industry for many years. So again, stop into the store, let us know if there's something that we can do for you. We have a good stock of inventory right now, and if you're looking for a particular holster, we can get it ordered. And like I said, they're running about a week to two depending on the configuration of firearm that you have. Obviously, the less popular the firearm, the less popular or the less likely they're going to have a holster for that gun in stock, but they will manufacture it within a short period of time and get you up and moving to where you need to be. So be sure to stop by and see what we have, see if there's something that we can get for you, and if not, we'll certainly get it ordered. So again, if you want to get in on today's show in the last segment, you can call us at 457-1290. We'd be more than glad to talk with you. We're going to go into our last break of the hour, and when we come back, we'll talk more about some of the issues going on at Sim Trainer. You're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, Dayton's News and Talk. Welcome back to the show, and I want to take this last segment to just talk about a couple of issues. Before I talk about things that are going on down at the range, I want to remind our listeners to please, please, please contact your representatives, particularly at the federal level. Let them know how you feel about the pending appointment of Mr. Chipman for the ATF, and how negative that would be for not only gun owners, but just kind of sending a negative message if they would put somebody like that who has such draconian opposition to law-abiding citizens, gun ownership rights. It's just beyond the realm of kind of, I just can't get a handle around that he was even nominated, given his past stance and positions and stated positions on a variety of issues. But we need to ramp up our contacting of our representatives to let them know how we feel about these issues. Let them know that we're still watching what's going on behind the scenes. No matter what the issue is right now, we've got to let, and tell them we want to hear from them. We want them to get in front of a microphone, in front of a television camera, and tell us what they're going to do. Tell them that it's not okay to let government officials violate the law. I'm of the belief that I think impeachment proceedings should be brought against people who defy the law, and I don't care how high that goes. We know that right now that impeachment's not likely to go through, particularly given that the Democrats control the House and the Senate at the present time, but we know that to at least go on the record and force other people to go on the record, because next year is going to be huge, and how people stand on important issues is going to be telltale as to the outcome of those midterm elections, which hopefully will turn things around. Relative to what's going on at the range, keep in mind that we are right now in the middle of our July, August Advanced Handgun Series 1 through 5. We are offering those every 2 months. So the next series will start up, and we're going to post those online in September. That'll be September-October series, and we'll close out the year with November and December. They've been increasingly popular because people are serious about training, and we've had some wonderful, wonderful experiences, and some people have really shown their desire to learn, and they've pushed us to our limits, and we're glad that we're able to provide that service. The classes have been filling up, and we expect for the next series to also fill up. We're also going to ramp up our offering of our AR M4 introduction to the AR M4 rifle, our shotgun class, our gun cleaning class. With all the people out there that are buying guns, you got to take care of the gun. Well, just reading the manual isn't good enough in many cases. That's why we're offering on a monthly basis now some automatic pistol cleaning classes. And there are some people out there who have inherited guns, or they bought guns maybe because it's all that was available, and there's particular nuances about the way they are disassembled and the way they're cleaned and the way they're reassembled. And if you don't know what you're doing, you're going to get yourself into a little bit of trouble. And we've had so many times we've had people come to the range with components of firearms in a box or a bag, partially assembled, because they didn't know how to reassemble the gun. And it was only a matter of moving a lever one way or the other, or putting it together in a particular order, that they didn't pay particular attention to the way it was done in the manual, and then it creates a problem. And in a few cases, it results in pieces of the gun having to be reordered from the manufacturer because they were damaged beyond repair and they couldn't be used. So we're trying to do things, realizing that there's so many new gun owners. We want to encourage people to take advantage of our training pass. Our training pass offers you the basic handgun class and the concealed carry class and a 3-month membership to the range for $200. Each of those classes typically costs $100 a piece, and then a 3-month membership, a quarterly membership to the range, is $75. In addition, it provides you with the opportunity to use whatever gun you like in the concealed carry class that you shot in the basic handgun class. You get to use for free, saving you another $10. So it's a $285 value for $200. But the big thing is, we're not just throwing in the range membership to throw in something as an incentive. Our belief is, in between the basic handgun class and the concealed carry class, you need to get to the range and practice. And then after you get your concealed carry, after you complete your concealed handgun license and you're applying for, you get your concealed handgun license, you need to continue to develop your skills. And then if you decide to go on to additional training, we offer a concealed carry beyond the basics class for somebody who can't commit to a full 20 hours of a training in our advanced handgun series. We try to condense that down to the bare necessities, what you need, the basic skills you need above and beyond concealed carry, because as we've said so many times, the concealed carry class is merely a class to bring to a level of conscious awareness the serious responsibility of owning, carrying, potentially using a gun in self-defense. It's not the terminal class for people who are serious about using a firearm for personal safety and self-defense. It takes additional practice and some enhanced training in order to get real good at doing that. But we're offering those classes on a regular basis, and they are filling up. Matter of fact, tomorrow's basic handgun class is already full. We have another one next Monday. We typically offer them on the first Sunday and the second Monday of the month. And concealed carry classes are offered on the second Saturday and the third Wednesday and Thursday of the month. But they're all listed on our website at sim-trainer.com under the classes tab. And you can register online. Then as quick as you can, call into the range to make payment to confirm your spot. Because going into the fall, typically summer was slow. But the last couple classes have been, it was unusual, mainly because of the number of people getting guns. So I don't want you to think that because it's summertime, you can be slow in pulling the trigger, literally and figuratively, and getting yourself registered and confirming that registration, because we want you to get there and get it done quickly. So please call us at the range at 937-293-3914. Go to the website at sim-trainer.com. Click on the classes tab. Get yourself registered. The nice thing about the classes tab, it gives you a description, and in many of the cases, it'll give you a little video to show you what you're going to learn there. So take the time, get out there, see what it is that we can do for you, and we certainly want to get you trained up and get you ready to do whatever it is you intend to do, whether you're just getting a gun for personal safety and self-defense in the home, or if you're going to carry, we want to help you do that. So those are good things going on. So that's all I have for today. And until next week, we'll be back next week again with some good discussion from some of the professionals in other areas of the field. You're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, Dayton's News and Talk.